Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, October 27th, 2019. Section F. Oil Report. MDM Permian targets overlooked Permian reservoirs. Strategic alliance with Fire Dream Resources begins with purchase of four Irion County wells. By Mella McEwen. Unconventional shale reservoirs may be dominating the spotlight, but an increasing number of companies are seeing potential in other reservoirs. Among the latest is MDM Permian Incorporated, which has formed a strategic alliance with Fire Dream Resources, LLC, to jointly develop up to 200 wells in the southern Midland Basin. The two companies have signed a letter of intent that begins with a sales and operating agreement for four wells in Irion County on the 160-acre Lindley lease, which produces from the Canyon Sands at approximately 7,000 feet with Wolf Camp, Clear Fork, and San Angelo potential behind pipe. MDM Permian, which will serve as prospect generator and operator in the alliance, will retain a carried working interest in all the projects. Michael Raphael, MDM Permian President and Chief Executive Officer, said in a phone interview that what his company brings to the alliance is 38 years of oil field experience. As the investors, Fire Dream brings money to the table, money and trust and faith in what we're doing. He said the focus on overlooked reservoirs, as well as the historically low recoveries from these wells, happened by accident. Our company was researching wells that had penetrated the Wolf Camp or had been thought to have penetrated the Wolf Camp. These were wells that were recently plugged. We started out looking at the state's plugging list, Raphael said. There's a lag time between the time they're plugged and listed as plugged. We looked at the logs and all the data we could find, and it started becoming apparent, particularly in the Canyon Sand, that operators weren't getting the ultimate production we think these zones could kick out. We gave all our information to our petroleum engineer, and he did a good study on a 25-square-mile area. He determined these Canyon Sand wells had produced only 4% of oil in place. I don't know if it's because of the spacing. Most of these old wells were drilled in the late 1960s through the mid-1980s and had only one shot per foot in terms of perforations, he said. I don't know if that contributed to the low production rates. We started looking a little more intently at what was going on with other zones, the Clear Fork, Wolf Camp, Canyon, and started liking what we were seeing. It seemed, back in the days when these wells were originally drilled, no one knew how to get oil out of the Wolf Camp, he said. We noticed on a lot of logs, they didn't even log when they went through the Wolf Camp. We went into it originally looking at the Wolf Camp, but we started seeing other stuff and said, hey, there's plenty of oil here. MDM Permian is designing a workover program that includes updating the existing infrastructure, additional perforations to increase oil and gas production, chemical programs, and asset jobs. What we want to do, yes, we want to recomplete some of the older wells, but also drill new wells with a combination of the old data and some modern data, said Raphael. As old as the wells are, the data available is 40 to 50 years old, data that's not as reliable as we can generate now. We'll also do some 3D seismic work. The company is in the process of obtaining an option for up to four full sections where the Lindley lease is located and is negotiating the acquisition of an additional 16 wells with associated held by production acreage, all in the immediate area, and wells that are currently producing from the Canyon Sands. We're in the process of leasing and researching to find all the mineral owners, Raphael said. In the meantime, we have been able to pick up some of these shut-in wells or low-producing wells we can revitalize. We're focused on creating value on the ground that's already there. Of the infrastructure updates, he said the company will be looking at gathering lines. He's not a big fan of surface water tanks, he said. There's also a lot of old equipment, leaking gun barrels, for example, that need to be replaced. Before we turn the wells on, we need to make sure everything is tight. That's our first step, to clean up the top of ground stuff, so when we turn the wells on, we won't experience any unexpected problems. Then we'll go in and redo the wells, he said. The challenges are mostly mechanical stuff, top of ground stuff. We're having to look closely at how old the casing in the wells is, where the top of the cement is. That won't slow the company down in terms of drilling new wells, he said, adding that horizontal drilling isn't in the company's game plan. We're just starting to get to work on some top-of-ground stuff. We're in no hurry, as it were, slow and steady, get the job done, and get it done right. I'm sure we'll learn as we go, learn new things every day, he said. He praised the work that's been done in the Permian's unconventional shale reservoirs that has sent output soaring to more than 4 million barrels a day. I love what everybody's doing, Raphael said. Obviously, it's thrown the U.S., as well as Texas, into the top tier in the world in producing oil. That's fantastic what's been happening. I still think there's a lot of room for little guys like us to come in and drill conventional and unconventional wells. From what our engineers are telling us, we're looking at wells over there that, when you take into consideration all of the zones, one of the things we love about this is the stacked plays, could be 150,000 to 200,000 barrel wells. That's what has me so excited about the prospect. Raphael and his engineers will be studying all the data they can find and continue to look at the Wolfcamp and other zones above the canyon sand. There's a lot of data we were able to paste together and say, there's a lot of oil in the ground, he said. I'm excited about the prospect in the whole area. Irion County is not the only area we're looking at. We're seeing a lot of this stuff throughout the Midland Basin. He said MDM Permian isn't the only company targeting overlooked reservoirs. This is only one prong, as it were, of what we expect to be doing in the very near future. We have other targets or ideas in mind, and we're working on those right now, and we'll be making them public when the time is right, he said. Aureus Energy Services brings water treatment platform to region, by Mella McEwen. From the Canadian oil fields of Calgary, Alberta, Aureus Energy Services is entering the Permian Basin after gaining a U.S. foothold in the Rocky Mountains. The water management company opened a Midland office and yard in May. We came down here, and one of the first things we did was sign a lease on a 10,000-square-foot, 5-acre facility, Jason Tochenyuk, company founder, said in a phone interview. We are, and have been, recruiting and building our human resources structure with a very strong, talented team of local management, business development, sales and health, safety, and environment. Among the local hires are Clay Sears, Owen Williams, and Wiley Bell, along with local project managers and field service operators. We continue to set ourselves up for what we believe to be a very bright future of servicing the Permian and the Delaware. We've made a significant investment already to prove we believe in our process, that it will be a fit here, and we are definitely investing in the community, said Tochenyuk. Water treatment process is a very technical process that requires skilled labor to run it, he said. To capitalize on our local corporate structure, we believe firmly in training. We've definitely hired locally, but we've also brought in highly trained personnel from Canada to train locally in our processes in order to have top-quality people running our process. While not divulging specific investment amounts, he said it is definitely in the tens of millions. The growth opportunities that are in the U.S., and our core focus is U.S. expansion for the foreseeable future, he said. We look to expand our brand across all shale plays with our technology, beginning with the Rockies last year. He founded Aureus in 2011 with three locations, serving the Calgary area with hot oil, water transfer, water heaters, and pressure pumping services. The company entered the U.S. in 2018 when it established a location in Nunn, Colorado. Aureus completed its acquisition of Amperage Energy in January to add water treatment to the business. Amperage, founded in 2007, had been treating produced water in Canada for 10 years before the acquisition. It's that proprietary process that Tocheniak believes will set Aureus apart from other water treatment technologies. Our focus is to deploy zero-emission water treatment technology, he said. We offer a modular solution that can be deployed to a client's respective operating area. Essentially, it's a mobile, modular, scalable solution. In the future, we look to expand our technology into the midstream gathering market. The company is still in the business development stage in the Permian Basin, but has already completed one project and is in the process of deploying its technology with some mid to major producers, essentially pilot testing our technology, he said. Tocheniak described the company's water treatment platform as a proven process, a technology process that has been working for 10-plus years. It is an emission-friendly process that is what we consider to be a very safe process, and one of the biggest differentiators we have is the scalability of our process due to how modular it is. We can put together a 150,000-barrel treatment plant within a week. A company's environmental and social governance mandate is a significant goal, whether it's exploration and production, providing electricity to power operations, water transfer, or displacing diesel with natural gas in generators. Our process, innovation, and technology, whether it's across the Permian Basin or the Rockies, we helped clients meet those goals or the objectives they're trying to meet, he said. We've been helping clients reduce emissions even prior to coming to the Rockies. It was that emissions-free, environmentally friendly water treatment solution that helped Aureus break into the Rockies, he said. Understanding the need for water treatment and the market for treating water in the Permian and the Delaware, we felt that platform, that patented process, would be our platform to break into this market. Tocheniak said the company's core focus in the Permian Basin would be as a water management company. The synergy between water management and water treatment are very complementary of each other, which contributes to the economics of our process versus competing technologies, he said. But then, also, in the future, we look to exploit investment opportunities in the infrastructure that will join water management and water treatment in the cycle. They complement each other, but ultimately it's our unique treatment platform that we're bringing down here. Railroad Commissioner Craddock touts IT upgrades by Mella McEwen. Much has changed about the Texas energy industry since Christy Craddock was elected to the Railroad Commission. When I joined the commission after her election in November 2012, three-quarters of the drilling permits were for vertical wells. Today, three-quarters of the drilling permits are for horizontal wells. That's how fast in 7 years the industry has changed, she said during a recent visit to Midland. When she joined the agency as one of the three commissioners, she said the commission was so far behind in information technology. Since taking office, she said she has worked hard to upgrade the commission's systems. We've come a long way. We've launched a number of smaller projects as we upgrade. These projects include an online tool that lets the public see the results of inspections on pipelines and wells and interactive maps showing each county's production figures and GPS coordinates and other data about plugged wells. Craddock said the commission has also updated seismic maps and made strides in making its data searchable online. During this year's session, the Texas legislature gave the commission $26.9 million to replace its mainframe permitting system, which will then allow the public to access data going back further than 2016. She said a contract was announced earlier this month to begin the process of moving data off mainframes, something she said could take 6 to 8 years. She said the commissioners and commission personnel have talked with agencies in other states about their experience in doing similar upgrades and the companies they worked with. Figuring out the vendors is a big step, she said. Craddock said she intends to return to the legislature when it meets in 2021 to seek funds for additional IT upgrades. While the commission's IT systems have come a long way, we still have a long way to go, she said. Upgrading the commission's IT systems is important because we want operators to be successful, but we appreciate that there are more companies coming in and they need oversight, Craddock said.
Sustainability moved beyond the reservoir life for industry, by Mel McGuin. For oil and gas producers today, sustainability goes beyond sustaining oil and gas production. We need to make sure our choices are good for the company and for the environment, said Kathleen McGaden, corporate communications manager with Parsley Energy. Participating in a panel discussion on sustainability at the Permian Basin Petroleum Association's annual meeting, she said the question of oil and gas's activities' impact on the environment is an important global question. And she said the industry needs to advocate for itself amid the debate on whether it's to stop using fossil fuels for energy. We make conscientious decisions in our daily operations, and we don't talk about that, she said. We are asking the right questions. We're incorporating economic and environmental responsibility into how we operate. For example, the company has a pilot water recycling program in Martin County, she said. University Lands, which manages 2 million acres of West Texas land on behalf of the University of Texas and Texas A&M University Systems, urges the producers operating on its lands to use best practices, said Richard Brentley, Senior Vice President, Operations with University Lands. Those best practices range from reducing air emissions to establishing water management policy for its acreage designed to encourage operators to recycle water. Occidental Petroleum is preparing a low-carbon economy, said David Shuttle, Director of Commercial Development and Technology at the company. Discussing Oxy low-carbon ventures, he said, that preparation is being done to benefit employees, shareholders, and communities where Oxy operates. Shuttle says the company believes that it can balance increased oil and gas production with low carbon through its experience and technical expertise. He cites its massive carbon dioxide-based enhanced oil recovery operations in the Permian Basin and said that its Permian Basin acreage has the capacity to store 200 years of the nation's annual CO2 emissions. Our goal is to be the global leader in providing the market with low-carbon solutions for sustainable energy. Whether it's CO2 product creation, carbon capture, usage and storage, CO2 capture and separation, or decarbonization of electricity, he said. Projects the company is investing in are direct air capture plant expected to come online in 2022 and is a zero-emission natural gas power plant also expected to be in operation in 2022. Tommy Taylor, Director of Oil and Gas Development in the Fasken Oil and Ranch, moderates the discussion and told the audience that the Permian Basin is being looked at around the world, and this is an opportunity for everyone in this room to go out and set an example.
This article is entitled, Facilities Investment Will Prove Midland is Committed to Improving Public Education, by Scott Sheffield, Pioneer Natural Resources President and CEO. As many of you know, I called Midland home for many years, and it was a privilege to raise my children in such a supportive community. Midland had and continues to have many things to be proud of. Unfortunately, the quality of public education is no longer one of them. That's why, on behalf of Pioneer, I support the MISD bond proposal to provide new secondary facilities for Midland and high school students. All Midland children, many of whom are children of our employees, deserve a quality education. The future of the Permian Basin will depend on a well-educated workforce. If you missed Don Evans's editorial on October 20th, I encourage you to read it. I appreciate his commitment to Midland and level of engagement. He makes a strong case for supporting the school bond proposal, and I won't attempt to say it any better. I will point out that the oil and gas industry continues to innovate, and the technical knowledge and skills required in all positions continue to grow. The students of today will be the scientists, innovators, operators, and technicians, the doctors, nurses, teachers, and emergency responders of tomorrow. They will be the adults in all the jobs that make up a prosperous and strong community. And a strong and growing Midland community is essential. Pioneer has drilled more wells in Midland County than any other operator and expects to be drilling at a steady pace here for at least 75 more years. The rig count will vary, but the returns from horizontal shale drilling are strong at well below today's oil prices. For Midland to attract the professional and skilled workforce needed to take advantage of this vast opportunity, new, modern school facilities providing critical added capacity are required. Investing in these facilities will prove that Midland is committed to improving public education. As one of the largest property taxpayers in Midland County, Pioneer is ready to pay our share to provide adequate, safe, and technologically advanced facilities for our students. We and other mineral and commercial property owners, representing more than half of the MISD tax base, will bear the majority of the additional cost. We need to know that communities in the Permian Basin will be able to support the type of top-quality workforce that will be required for decades to come. And we need Midland to lead the way. After 18 months of analysis, the data is in, the work has been done, and the time is now. Early voting is available until Friday, and the election is November 5th. I urge you to vote yes.
Staff Shortages Ranchland Discussed at Town Hall by Brandy Addison. An audience member spoke out about his concern with staffing in the Ranchland Hills Golf Club purchase Monday during a town hall meeting about the MISD bond. He questioned trustees and cabinet members on how the current staff shortage will be fixed and how the Ranchland money could have been used differently. Even after 1.5 hours of discussion, Midland resident Courtney Ratliff said he still has some questions and the perception that the district has made a prioritization of the future rather than the present. Staff shortages. Two similar questions were raised by several audience members. How will the staff shortages be addressed and how will their salaries be paid for? Whether there's 7,500 students at three schools or 7,500 students at two schools, we're still going to need more teachers, Board President Rick Davis said. Davis told the gathering he believes the effects of the bond would make the school district more attractive for the recruitment and retention of other teachers. That's how the staff shortages would be addressed. He said bond funds could not be used for salaries, but that for every dollar the district is spending on current schools, it can help pay teachers' salaries. Ratliff wanted to know how the district planned to address the current staffing shortage, not the shortfall in 2023, when the schools would be completed. Davis said the district recently increased salary for teachers, paying for 100% of medical benefits, offers teacher housing, as well as discounted rent rates, provides daycare services for staff, and has just partnered with a third-party hotline, which allows teachers to anonymously discuss their concern or praises. Davis again reiterated that the technology upgrades, safety improvements, and new schools that would be built with the bond funds would make the community more attractive for teachers because more families would be staying as well. Better Bond for Midland's Sarah Gonzalez brought up the fact that it isn't just teachers who will be needed for a third high school. She said it is misleading to say there will be the same number of staff because the district would need additional janitorial staff, office administration, counselors, nurses, and coaches to fill the new school. There are different staff members when you build an additional high school. different administrators, assistant principals, principals, nurses that will be needed, Davis said. We haven't had the challenge in those positions like we have with teachers, but you're right. We will have additional food service and custodians, which are a challenge. But what the committee believes and what the school board believes is that while we will have hiring challenges, we've got to do what we can do to increase our hiring in those respects. We believe that there are benefits to gain from the smaller learning environments, Davis said. Ratliff said that additional bus drivers would also be needed and that bands and dance teams haven't been able to travel long distances for at least 3 years. The most recent example was Friday when Lehigh's band and the dance team couldn't travel with the football team to Amarillo. It became an issue now because the public made it an issue, because the football team is so successful, and it became an elevated issue, Ratliff said. It's not new, and the district has not addressed it. Superintendent Orlando Riddick said the band could not travel because there is a bus driver shortage and the district called 9 charter bus companies to fill in, but none were available. He said the district has made a commitment in the budget for band travel, but on Friday the district had to make a sacrifice based on what it believed the community would want. We have bus drivers, but what it would mean is that I would have to tell a family that their child is not going to get home until after 6:30 in the evening because the driver that would have brought them home earlier is traveling to Amarillo with the band, and that's a legitimate commitment, Riddick said. I had to decide if the students who needed to get home now versus the students who need to go on the road for this commitment, can we make that happen? The other piece is, if we can't make that happen, then we have to budget for an external party who can do it. 9 companies all said, we don't have a bus or a driver. We were ready to pay. When we look at that, that's not just a constraint by us as a district. That's a constraint by a lot of entities, Riddick said. Ranchland purchase. Ratliff asked Davis how the money spent on Ranchland, $9.5 million from the M&O budget, could have been spent differently. Davis said, since the purchase was made, he has received 2 major criticisms. First, most people ask why the district didn't wait until the bond issue was passed before purchasing it, he said. The answer to that question is because the owners who were actively marketing the property weren't going to wait to see if the bond issue would pass, Davis said. They were going to make a deal with us months ago, or they weren't going to make a deal with us, and they were going to go with someone else. He said he thought the property was too valuable with its existing infrastructure and roads to have missed out on it. The second criticism is there wasn't enough community input on it. Well, that's not how the real world works, Davis said. Even if the district wanted a referendum or hosted town hall meetings, he said he believed there would have been a resounding yes on the purchase because it had the 80 acres needed for the high school, it was in a geographically reasonable location, and that it had existing infrastructure and roads. If the district had purchased raw land elsewhere, he said it would have cost $4 million for every mile to get sewage, electricity, water, and roads, and more so if the property was outside the city limits. Boundaries. One resident asked if Midland High, which would be built on the Ranchland property, would become the Southeast School. Davis said the school's population won't necessarily be determined by location, as it isn't currently. This community, for the last 60 years since Lee was built, has been dedicated to building 2 equal high schools. Diversity-wise, social, economically-wise, in every way being equal to have a have-or-have-not school, Davis said. And after making that commitment to that decision, we've got some funky-looking lines. We've got students driving through Midland High's district to get to Lee, and we've got Midland High students driving through Lee District to go to Midland High. For these 3 high schools, we are committed to making them 3 equal high schools in every way, and while I hope that with the fact we will have 3 spread geographically across the city, there would be more opportunities with 3 being geographically closer than there would be with just 2. So it doesn't mean we are going to have people driving further than they would, Davis said. Freshman centers. Better Bond for Midland Chair Brandon Hodges asked about freshman centers and lunches. You could design a high school with freshman centers, MISD Chief Operations Officer James Riggins said. That's just one concept of design, although we don't have to. It would be a freshman center built on the same campus. He said the real issue with freshmen being separated from the 10th through the 12th grades is that they are completely off campus miles down the road. Riddick said he personally believes lunch should be closed campus because the majority of freshmen don't have driver's licenses. If they choose to leave with an upperclassman, then that's at their own discretion and they would be disciplined for it, he said. However, the district will receive community input and the decision will not be up to him.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget, you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.